Because the scripture does not teach that Jesus is coming for his throne, but that Jesus is coming from his throne.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And this says, in fact, a little bit less about the second coming and more about how it is right now. That we are the church that confesses the ascension that Jesus has, remember, as he promised, that he has gone to prepare a place for us. And that even now he is sitting on the throne and he is working by his word, by his baptism, by his body and blood to prepare us for that place. So that when he comes back to rescue us.
You can listen to Pastor Wolfmiller's teaching, Making the Case for a Biblical Approach to the End Times, on an audio DVD from the Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a recommended donation of $300 to Issues Etc. Just click the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
To talk about crushing below or crushing above on a little baby so that you can get an intact heart or an intact lung or an intact liver for sale, there's no way to defend language like that.
If we pervert the word of God by not speaking the law, just to try to get along or to coexist, we're ultimately going to miss out on the wonders of the gospel.
I think often when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we go, oh boy, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Oh no, my sins aren't going to be forgiven. No, Elisha says, stop being stupid, look at the gospel promise.
Injury due players in Iowa, love issues, etc.
We live in a time here in American Christianity when people are with a straight face, I don't know how they do it, but with a straight face are claiming to be New Testament prophets. Some are even claiming to be New Testament apostles. Now, aside from the severe problems that there are with arriving at that from any kind of New Testament perspective or any kind of New Testament sound exegesis, there is the problem that, well, a lot of Christians are believing them. And what a person who claims to be a prophet says is taken as, literally, a word from God. Now, if that person is lying, if they're neither a prophet, nor are they hearing from God, then the people who believe them are believing a lie, and they're being misled. And false prophecy is actually something that, if you read the Old Testament, is taken very, very seriously. It's actually considered a matter of life and death. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live on this Thursday afternoon, August the 18th. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us here for the first half hour of the program. We'll do This Week in Pop American Christianity, talking about false prophecies and the false prophets who prophesy them. Then, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer joins us for our series, Christ in the Old Testament. We'll be in Psalm 50, God Himself is Judge. We will actually review a very old movie, the original Ben-Hur, on the eve of the release of the remake of Ben-Hur. Pastor Ted Giese will be our guest in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. And then Terry Mattingly joins us to talk about media coverage of an ecumenical agreement between the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and Roman Catholic leaders. The headline said, U.S. Lutherans agree with Catholics. Not the best headline, certainly not accurate. And why is it that the story in the Religion News Service was so sparse, so thin, when the media usually gives a lot of attention to mainline Protestant denominations and their ecumenical agreements? We'll talk about that in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. Our call-in number over the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Or our beloved on-demand listeners, feel free to use the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us for This Week in Pop American Christianity, we're going to talk about false prophecies. Pastor Chris Roseborough, pastor of Consvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
What does Scripture have to say about true and false prophets?
Well, Scripture is very clear about this. In the Old Testament times, Moses, when he had met with God and God gave him the Ten Commandments and this plans for building the tabernacle, which ultimately turned into the temple, that God actually gave a prophecy to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 18, starting at verse 15, where he literally says that God says he's going to raise up a prophet like Moses, and that we're to listen to this prophet, which immediately kind of begs the question, well, how do we know if somebody is a true prophet or a false prophet? And God here through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20 says, if a prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. There's a death penalty imposed for false prophecy in the theocracy of ancient Israel. And if you say in your heart, well, how may we know that that word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of Yahweh, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you need not be afraid of him. And so there are several tests in the Old Testament regarding true and false prophets. But the first test really is whether or not the prophecy that they have spoken, they said, thus saith the Lord, this and this will happen. If that doesn't happen, then the Lord literally says in Deuteronomy 18, then you know with certainty that you're dealing with somebody who is speaking presumptuously. This, by the way, is an example of the breaking of the commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This is where you hijack God's name and use it as the logo on your false prophecy or your false currency. And what ends up happening is that you have blasphemed God's name, misused it in order to deceive people. So first rule of a prophet, if you say something's going to happen, then it's got to happen. Otherwise, you haven't heard from God.
And again, the penalty there is the severest that could be handed down. This is not a light offense in the mind of God.
No, this is a capital crime. This is up there with murder. This is up there with, you know, rape and sexual immorality. This is a capital crime. The person found guilty of being a false prophet on the first offense was to be stoned to death. That was the Old Testament remedy for somebody who was a false prophet.
So today in Pop American Christianity, practically everyone in one form or another, whether he calls himself a vision casting leader or formally calls himself a prophet, is pulling this kind of stuff. That's the context for what we're going to hear, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's exactly the context that we're going to hear. And in the charismatic movement, I mean, you know, personal prophecies, let's say, they are aplenty. But the problem is that, you know, the mild form goes from, you know, God laid something on my heart, all the way up to, you know, the most clear example of, thus saith the Lord, God has spoken this, and you are going to do this, that, or the other thing. And so, you know, all of those are forms of somebody claiming to have received direct revelation from God, either through a prompting in their heart or through an audible voice or a dream or a vision. All of these are claiming to be direct revelations from God. And so, you know, this is running rampant. This has become the norm in American evangelicalism. And, you know, when somebody says, you know, God told me this or God told me that, hardly anybody in evangelicalism even blinks anymore. It's just considered just standard operating procedure.
Who are we going to hear from, and what are we going to hear, Chris?
We are going to be hearing from Jennifer LeClaire. Jennifer LeClaire is the senior editor of Charisma Magazine, which is probably the most subscribed and visited magazine for the charismatic and Pentecostal movement, you know, in the world. And so this is the woman who makes all of the editorial decisions as to which stories go in and out of the magazine at Charisma Magazine. So she's their top editor, and she has her own podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network called Walking in the Spirit. And the question that she's going to be answering is, what do you do when a prophecy, a life-changing prophecy, has not come to pass? And we'll note if she's in agreement with Deuteronomy 18.
Hi, it's Jennifer LeClaire, senior editor of Charisma Magazine, director of the Awakening House of Prayer in South Florida, and author of The Making of a Prophet. My subject today is why some would-be life-changing prophetic words don't come to pass. You've heard me talk before, surely, about how prophetic words bring warfare. But that's not the only reason people receive legitimate, would-be life-changing prophecies that don't come to pass. Although I believe strongly in waging war with prophetic words, you also have to be careful to understand what the Lord is actually saying to war accurately. Beyond this, you need a certain maturity to walk out the word by faith. You need the spiritual strength to stand against the tribulation and persecution that will surely come against a potentially life-changing prophecy. And you need to keep your mind focused on God's plans despite the barrage of cares and worries the devil brings to your mind. At the end of the day, it really boils down to this. There is a war over the prophetic word over your life. Sometimes that war comes from the wicked one. Sometimes that war comes from our own carnal nature that wars against the spirit. Hopefully that's not the case, but sometimes it is. Our flesh resists us. Either way, and whether we're talking about scripture or prophecy that's been deemed accurate, we must fight the good fight of faith so we can walk in the fullness of God's promises.
What's she saying there?
All right, so you're going to notice she's basically talking about what she has set up as a would-be life-changing prophecy that has not yet come to pass. And what is not on her radar is Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18 gives us the exact reason why a prophecy that hasn't come to pass has not come to pass, and the reason given in Scripture is because that is a word that God has not spoken. And so Jennifer LeClaire, who has her own school of the prophets, she actually trains people on how to become prophets, this is not even on her radar. Instead, you know, she's basically creating her own new doctrine. And the doctrine is that there is a war for the prophetic word that has been spoken over you, and it could be your flesh warring against it. It could be a demonic world warring against that prophetic word. But it's up to you. You have to have spiritual maturity and spiritual strength in order to war for that prophetic word to be fulfilled, which, by the way, the Bible nowhere, and I mean nowhere, teaches this doctrine. And by talking the way she's talking, now you'll notice that if a prophecy doesn't come to pass, it's your fault, not the fault of the prophet. The prophet spoke, and she used these words, a prophecy that was deemed to be accurate, yet it has not come to pass, which kind of begs the question, how does one deem a prophecy to be accurate if it hasn't come to pass? So it's there's something really funny going on here, but the shift is quite monumental. No longer is this person a false prophet. You're just spiritually immature. This person's not a false prophet. You didn't war for it properly, and therefore it's your fault that it didn't come about.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about false prophecy, so popular in Pop American Christianity. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. When we come back, we'll hear more from Jennifer LeClaire of Charisma Magazine about, well, at least her instructions on how to explain away false prophecy. Stay tuned.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, "A Changeless Christ for a Changing World." While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in his church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook. Facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Chris Rosebro is our guest, doing our regular series, This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about false prophecies. Chris, before we go on, the Issues, Etc. book of the month for August is Has American Christianity Failed? By Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. I know that he is a friend of mutual acquaintance here and a regular guest here on the program. Why would a book like this from Pastor Wolfmiller be a great resource for our listeners?
Two reasons. Number one, if you have grown up in Lutheranism and you don't really understand, you know, just what has gone wrong in American Christianity, you need this book in order to be able to kind of mentally frame this so that you can understand how to reach your evangelical friends and neighbors. But if you're an evangelical and you know that something is going wrong in American Christianity, the megachurch you're going to or the church that you're going to, you know something's wrong, but you can't quite figure out how to put your finger on it, then this book is going to give you language and biblical texts and a proper framework so that you can finally understand what is going wrong and why it has gone wrong and where to go next. I mean, this is such an important book, probably one of the more important books that's been published in the last 5 years. And this, if you're going to pick up a book and read it, this is the one to read.
It's the Issues, Etc. book of the month for August, Has American Christianity Failed? By Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Find out more about it on every page of our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Chris, what are we going to hear next? More from Jennifer LeClaire?
Yeah, we're going to hear more from Jennifer LeClaire. Since she's not going to talk about what Deuteronomy 18 says, because she's directly contradicting it, she's got to find a biblical text to twist, and so we're going to hear her find a biblical text which she is going to turn into a text that somehow supports this idea that you can receive a prophecy that hasn't come to pass, and yet it's your fault, not the fault of the prophet who gave the prophecy.
In the parable of the sower, Jesus explains some spiritual truth about the word of God, but it can also apply to prophecies that come straight from his heart. Matthew 13, verses 19 and 20, Jesus says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one who received the seed beside the path." See, now, it's important to understand exactly what God is saying prophetically. Many people miss it on the interpretation or the application, especially in the dream realm, because dreams are often parabolic. They're not always clear. They're symbolic many times. Of course, some prophecies are hard to misinterpret, especially the ones about having babies or operating in some spiritual gift. It is what it is. Matthew 13:21 gives us another clue. Jesus said, "But he who received the seed on rocky ground is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy." You've done that, right? You get a prophecy, you're like so excited, you receive it with joy. But then Jesus went on to say, "Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, eventually he falls away." So you start out doing well. You start out declaring, proclaiming, decreeing, prophesying the word. All of a sudden, the devil hears you, gets serious, and begins to persecute you. Tribulation comes, and you fall away. See, immature Christians need help walking out a prophetic word. Hey, even when a mature Christian is hit with tribulation and persecution over a life-changing prophecy, they need strong friends to encourage them to keep standing. Listen, don't try to walk it out alone. Get some help. Surround yourself with people of like precious faith.
What did she do with the parable of the sower?
Well, she changed the reference. In hermeneutics, one of the important things in order to properly understand a biblical text is to understand what is the referent, what is the thing that the text is referring to. So she changed the referent. Jesus in Matthew 13 is talking about the preached word, or you can even talk about the word of the kingdom kind of in an evangelistic sense, where somebody hears the word of God, hears the call from Christ to repent of their sins and to trust in him for the forgiveness of their sins. This is the way the kingdom comes. And she's turned it from that type of word, the hearing of the preached word of God, to a prophetic word. And so now she's changed the referent, and by changing the referent, she's completely demolished the interpretation. But here's the problem. This is Jesus' first parable in the Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus himself gives us the interpretation. And her interpretation is not at all even close or the same as the interpretation that Jesus himself gives for this parable. So she is twisting God's word, and now you'll notice, well, you know, when a Christian receives a prophecy, well, you know, that person is going to need help walking it out, she says. You know, the devil's going to come along and persecute you because of that prophecy you received. And you've got to decree and declare and make it happen, but the devil's going to come up against you so that that prophecy doesn't happen. That is a complete bag of hogwash. I mean, this is absolute gobbledygook and deception on her part. She's twisting God's word in order to avoid having to deal with the obvious. And the obvious is that God doesn't need anybody's help to cause his word to come to pass. Scripture is very clear on this, that the word of the Lord never returns to him void. And as a result of this, what she is doing is she is ignoring clear passages that the Holy Spirit has given us to warn us about false prophets, and the fault doesn't lie with the person receiving the prophecy. The fault lies with this person who has spoken presumptuously. And I would, you know, point people to the Old Testament text. If you follow the three-year lectionary like we do at our church, this past week, Jeremiah 23, 16 through 29, I think is very helpful here. Here's what it says. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak the visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you, and everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they says, no disaster shall come upon you. So Scripture is very clear, you know, these prophecies that aren't coming to pass, the origin of them is not God the Holy Spirit, but it's these false prophets who are filling people's minds, not with the word of the Lord, but with the visions of their own minds, with the stubborn thoughts of their own sinful nature, is a good way to kind of summarize what Jeremiah 23 is saying there.
What's next with Jennifer LeClaire?
Well, she's going to continue, and now she's going to really put the thumb screws down. I mean, you know, Todd, are you warring enough? Are you standing up and fighting? Are you maturing yourself enough so that you can walk out these prophecies that have been spoken over you? She continues.
Then Matthew 13, verse 22, Jesus said, he also who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. I could say a lot there, but let me just say this. The enemy works often with distractions. He doesn't care so much if you chase a good thing, as long as it's not the God thing. We need to be careful to diligently focus on the prophecy, or we may find ourselves focused on everything else but the promise. Finally, in verse 23, Jesus said this. He said, but he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit. Some produce 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. I don't know about you. I want the 100 times. And this is what we all want, right? We want a heart that is open to what God says, understands his kingdom purpose, and presses through the warfare to see the promise come to pass. So where do we go from here? Well, although a prophetic word is not on par with Scripture, a prophecy that's been judged true can be used as a sword in the spirit realm to do battle against the enemy's assignments. Continue to declare the prophetic word over your life. Remember, the enemy doesn't really care about you. Yes, he hates you, but he ultimately just wants the prophetic word to be marred, not to come to pass, to fall to the ground, because it's when God's will comes to earth that God is glorified. So he wants to foil you. He wants to foil God's plan in your life because he hates God and he hates you. If you're in a season of waiting and warring, hold on. Keep in mind it was at least 15 years between David's prophetic anointing and David's kingship. And it was about 13 years in between Joseph's dream and his promotion to Egypt's prime minister. Chances are it won't take you that long to see the first fruits of life-changing prophetic words spoken over your life. But even if it does, don't give in to the enemy's strategies.
I don't get it. She said that these prophecies are coming from God. Mm-hmm. And that they're a word of the word that God has planted in your heart. She even equates it with the word that Jesus describes there in the parable of the sower, which is most clearly God's word. Mm-hmm. She says they're not on par with Scripture.
No, apparently they're not. They're not. That's kind of the weird thing, is that, you know, these are some kind of subcategory of prophecy that are not on par with Scripture. But that's nonsense. If God has spoken, whatever he has spoken is on par with Scripture. It has the gold standard of God behind that word, and it's going to come to pass. So she's created a completely different category altogether. But let me give you a biblical example that just shows that this is utter nonsense. In Isaiah chapter 7, we have an example of a prophecy given to a man who literally despised the Lord. I mean, he was an idolater of the highest rank, and his name was King Ahaz. And here's what Isaiah chapter 7 says. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz through the prophet Isaiah. Ask a sign of Yahweh your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. And Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Now, by the way, he's not being pious here. He doesn't believe in Yahweh. He doesn't want to have anything to do with the Lord. And so here's what Isaiah said to him. Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you now weary God also? Therefore Yahweh himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. That means God with us. So the prophecy of Christ's virgin birth was given to a man who was an idolater and an unbeliever who did nothing whatsoever to war for or decree and declare the virgin birth. And this prophecy sat dormant for centuries. And yet God caused his word to come to pass, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, eventually was born of the Virgin Mary, just as God had promised. There was no need for Ahaz to decree and declare. I mean, imagine if this prophecy were dependent upon Ahaz to come about. But it wasn't. It was dependent upon the one who spoke it, and the one who spoke it was God himself through his prophet Isaiah. So what this whole theology that Jennifer LeClaire has concocted in order to basically shift the blame off the false prophet, it doesn't stand. It doesn't stand according to the clear word of Scripture, and it doesn't stand even with examples given of prophecies from real prophets to real people who did nothing to war for or work to exercise to make those prophecies come about, because it's not dependent on the one who receives, it's dependent upon the one who gives. And if the one who is giving it ultimately is not God, then it is not a word from God at all.
With only about 30 seconds, Chris, what is the big danger here of her advice and the basic framework that sadly so many in Pop American Christianity operate with, and that is expecting to hear apart from Scripture and sometimes contrary to Scripture, a word from God from within?
Over and again, I speak with people who have come out of the charismatic movement through listening to pirate Christian radio or Issues, etc. And to a person, they tell me that these personal prophecies that they've received when they were in these charismatic churches turn out to be a form of bondage. These words become shackles that shackle their lives and cause them to fear and ultimately lead to despair on the part of the one who has received them, because they don't come about as they have been told they will come about. And then when they ask questions, they're given doctrines like this: it's up to you, it's your fault, you're the reason why they didn't come about. And as a result of it, it leads to the kind of despair that causes people to walk away from church altogether, or, you know, to leave completely despondent, thinking, oh my goodness, I've done something that really has upset God, when in fact, the person who is sinning is the one who gave the false prophecy.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He hosts a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back in the second half hour of the program, we're going to be spending some time with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. We've got a regular series going with him, Christ in the Old Testament. We're going to talk about God himself as judge in Psalm 50 on this Thursday afternoon, in Hour 2 of Issues, etc. We will review, in advance of its remake, the 1959 movie Ben-Hur with Pastor Ted Giese, and Terry Mattingly will explain to us why it is that the media covers liberal Protestantism so heavily. Stay tuned.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues, Etc. 300.